Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Bring a little sunshine indoors with the exciting new arrivals in store or online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number. Deirdre, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Joe.
Explain.
A sense of deja vu here because I was on your program 25 years ago talking about the same subject.
Okay, and you're talking about inheritance tax, and I can tell you in 2009, that's 15 years ago, a child, when the house was, if the parents died and the children inherited the house, which invariably happens, each child was entitled to €550,000 from the value of the house tax-free. That's now gone down dramatically because of the crash, obviously. It's now gone down to 330 from 550. That's 15 years later. So I presume that's 550 in 2009 will be worth around 750 now, to say the least. Yeah. So there's issues, there's talk about changing the inheritance tax. When parents die and they leave the house to the children, how much tax do you think the children should pay on the value of that house?
Well, you see, Joe, it's €335,000 now without tax. Yes. But what we in the reform are claiming, that there are spouses threshold A, B and C. So it's really, if I may say, a little bit more than children. They're talking a lot about children now. This is how things stand at present, Joe. Spouses with or without children are entirely exempt. Children are threshold A, they can inherit.
Okay, no, Deirdre, I'm not going into send people running away to get their copybooks. You're basically saying that when the family home should be sacrosanct. And nobody in any relationship to the owners of the family home should pay tax when they're left a house. Isn't that correct?
Right.
Okay.
Well, I am saying, yes, that it should be sacrosanct for everybody.
It should be sacrosanct for the children, brothers, parents, nieces, nephews.
Yes, that the person who leaves the house, that house should be taken out of the assets in terms of inheritance tax.
And why should a house be exempt from any form of tax?
Well, it's a home. It's the home. It's not the house. Okay. A person can only have one home. So it's the home. I'm not talking about any other houses or anything else. It's just the home.
Okay, so if somebody dies and leaves a home to whoever they wish, that person, be they related, should not have to pay tax.
Yes.
Full stop.
It is
now,
based on status. That's correct, yes.
Okay, now, when this came up, well, say they want to give the house to somebody who's looked after them, that is in no marital or familial relationship, they should not have to pay tax either.
Correct.
Okay, now.
Nobody should have to pay tax on the home.
Okay, this is what SIPTU said in 2009 when the inheritance tax was much, much higher. This is what they said. The allowance was much, much higher. The allowance then, before you had to pay 33% tax to a child, now you're allowed 330, and then you pay 33% on everything after that from the family home, so to speak. The allowance in 2009 before the crash was €500,000. And this is what SIPTU said. Well, Paul Sweeney, the respected economic advisor to ICTU at the time, in Ireland, inheritance tax is really quite low. €500,000 per brat. Each brat can inherit €500,000 and then over that pay a mere 20%. People get €500,000 tax-free. Most of us have to work and pay tax at 40%. Well, the tax rate is much higher now for most people. And that was... So it's the inheritance brats that we're letting off.
Yes. Well, you see, it isn't... The whole idea of inheritance tax needs to be examined because it's really... It's on the principles of social justice. It should be regulated. Any of these taxes should be regulated according to the Constitution by social justice and equality. It is not the case, and I think it's more important that we do consider the thresholds, Joe, because siblings can only inherit 35,500.
Yeah.
Single people can only inherit 16,250. Now, I think that's where an enormous injustice occurs. And I think if at least the house were exempt, then everybody family, children, everybody would solve everybody's problem. They would feel secure.
Well, the only problem it wouldn't solve is the exchequer. Because the exchequer...
Now, the exchequer then, yes, but the exchequer has to be creative. I mean, the exchequer could have a tax for windfall winnings in gambling.
Yeah, well,
if they introduce that tax, I can win a million on buying a ticket. My home will be taxed at 33%. Mine may not be, depending on whosoever I give it to.
Yeah.
May be taxed at 33%. The million, I keep it in my pocket.
But come back, why should the house be exempt?
The home.
The home. Well, that's part of your argument. Why should the home be exempt?
But why shouldn't it be? It is exempt for spouses.
Yeah, but it's not exempt for children.
No,
it's not exempt for if a carer or anyone else was looking after it. Anyone you wanted to give it to. For example, if your house sold for, what's the average price of a house now in Ireland, according to daft.ie, I think it's up near 500,000 for a modest house. If someone died...
Not in the country, maybe.
Yeah, I understand that. But if somebody dies, they want to give it to the person who looked after them for the last 20 years of their life.
Yes.
They will get 16,000. So basically 485,000 of that amount will lose 33. That will be taxed at 33 1/3%. So the state out of that, because the person has no familiar relationship, the state out of that will get 165,000 in tax. You think that's unfair?
I think it's unfair to tax the home because anybody who owns the home, you're taxing you're putting a debt on a person who.
So what do you think of the SIPTU or the YICTU argument? These aren't, they're called them inheritance brats. The Green Party at the minute and Labour Party at the minute said this is unearned privilege and it should be taxed at the current rate. I suspect they might be even arguing for a higher rate, but it should be taxed at a higher rate when parents leave the family home. To the children.
To the child. Yes, but you see, you are concentrating all the time on the family home to the children. This whole tax is not just about parents and children. This tax, there are, as I say, siblings and single people, carers. The house that a person leaves, that house has, taxes have already been paid on the house, property taxes. People have saved all their savings. As well as that, you know, savings are called into tune for the single people as well. So everybody's savings... Everything above 16,000, we'll say, for single people, that's going to be charged at 33%. Do you want to save all your life and have that money taken by the state? And very importantly, Joe, this tax only yields a minuscule 1% of the total intake to the state, but the negative impact on ordinary citizens is enormous.
Well, 1% of the countless billions of tax intake to the state is a lot of money. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Would you be not asking to tell me, can we go back even to 2009 rates where you're allowed 550K before your tax?
Where the child is allowed 550K.
Five child, yes.
And what happens, siblings and single people then?
At that time, they were allowed 54,000.
Yeah.
And then strangers, which is an awful word to use in this context because you don't give your house to a stranger. Strangers were... were allowed 27,000 before they were hit.
And do you think
that's
a good idea? Do you think that's a good idea, Joe? That 16,000, as it is now, is enough for single people?
Okay, that's irrelevant. What I
think. Many of them are carers.
550,000 in 2009. If the government were to keep in line with inflation, etc., in the allowance for the children, for example, on the inheritance tax, a child would be allowed inherit at something like 650,000 now in 2024. So, but it's gone in the opposite direction. They're allowed inherit half of that rather than in the opposite direction. But the argument is that the reason went in the opposite direction is because of the casino banks and the casino developers and the collapse of the economy and Anglo-Irish Bank and all the criminality that went on. That's the world we live in.
It is the world we live in, but we're not living in that world just at the moment. So the government has it within their power to look at this tax and perhaps scrap it altogether
Replace
it with a gambling tax.
Yeah, but the gambling tax is a separate argument, and I know the argument.
But if you ask me, what would they do? Where would they get the money?
Okay. But you're saying the family home, no matter who, God forbid, when I die, yes, or the parents die, no matter who they give it to, if they give, yes, it to Uncle Tom Cobbley or if they give it to their two, yes, children, they should be allowed to give it to them because they paid for the house, went out to work, they paid income tax, sometimes extraordinarily high, but it's high at the minute, high income tax, and before they could buy their house, they paid property tax on the house now for the last, 10 years or so. So when
Interest of 18%, people.
Yes, so you're saying when those parents, God forbid, die or decide to pass on the house, they should be allowed to pass on the house without any encumbrance, no matter who they're giving it to.
Because they've already paid everything on the house. That house has already been paid to the state in many, many ways.
Okay. Francis, good afternoon. It's a slightly different situation, by the way. 0818 715815, joe@rt.ie. Francis, unfortunately, your sister died in November 2018, and her daughter at the time was 15. What happened?
Yeah, hi, Joe. So, obviously, a very sad situation,
yeah.
And my sister is a single mom, so she had set up a trust for her daughter, which basically has the house and some cash that was left for her. And when she turned 21, we had to pay 6% of the value of all the assets. So that worked out at about 42,000. And then on her next birthday, there'd be another 1%, plus when Patricia is getting money from the trust as her day-to-day expenses, she's not in a position to work because she's some mental health conditions and things. And so when she gets money from the trust, which is her mum's money, and her mum had obviously paid tax all her working life on that money, that's considered income tax for her.
Wow.
And also, when the trust is distributing that money to her, the trust has to hold back 20% as a withholding tax that goes to the revenue as well. So if the trust wants to give Patricia 1,000 euro, the trust has to also pay 200 to the revenue.
Even though, is the trust based on the value on the house, the assets?
The trust is the assets on the house, yeah. So,
and this is the child of the pair. I mean, she was a minor at the time.
Yeah.
When her mother died,
yeah.
Surely she's entitled to all the value of the house because she's a category Group A in the threshold.
She has to live in the house for another 6 years after the trust is distributed to her. So she would have to, if it was distributed to her now, she would have to have this as a principal private residence. She can't sell it or anything for another 6 years, or she would fall into the 330. She'd end up paying tax on about 300,000 euro.
So just, Francis, for us, isolate for the listener, 0818 715 815, isolate the unfairness as you see it.
Well, my sister worked for 32 years, and blood, sweat and tears, and her daughter is a minor, and she turned 21, she's not in a capacity to work, why is she paying 50,000 euro? This has nothing to do with inheritance now. For the protection of her daughter, my sister set up a trust, and for the joy of putting that protection in place, her daughter has to pay 50,000 euro to revenue, plus any money that she gets as day-to-day expenses for groceries, for utility bills, for anything like that. It's considered income for her daughter.
Okay.
At 15 or 16 years of age, up until, whenever. And it just...
So Deirdre is quite adamant. Deirdre Quinn is quite adamant. Deirdre is saying, family home, Bought, paid for, invariably, in Ireland anyway, in terms of people who own the family home, there's council homes that people buy as well. Bought, paid for out of after-tax income over the years, property tax paid, stamp duty paid, which was in 2008, 2009, extortionate, close to 10%.
Yeah.
So when that house, when the people who own that house, when they die or pass on the house, it should not be further taxed. Are you arguing that your sister, your niece, should not be taxed on the assets of her mother who died, obviously quite young?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So same argument. 51551 is our text number. But Helena O'Sullivan, Helena, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Now, Helena, deal with this. When the rates were much higher, when the allowance was much higher, in other words, you had to pay much less tax if you were, I'm going to say lucky enough, if you did inherit a house or be gifted a house or whatever. Back in 2009, it was $500,000, worth nearly $700,000 now. So it was completely, the threshold was double what it is now before people pay 33%. But even at that stage, ICTU were saying these are inheritance brats. Labour Party and the Green Party today, because the debate is obviously back up and running now, they're saying this is unearned privilege. What do you think should happen?
I don't agree with that, Joe, what all your other callers were saying. Like, my husband and I spent the last 30 years paying off a mortgage on our family home.
Okay.
We bought it in 2005 at the height of property boom and 9% stamp duty.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, we were told was a property tax. And here we are now, 20 whatever years later, and we're now paying property tax. And our children then, when we die, will, you know, have to pay double tax, more tax on what we've worked hard, you know, to establish for our children over the last 30 years. That's, you know, it's the same argument that all those other callers have said. It's a double tax.
It's a double. I hope your line is not gone. It is a double taxation.
Yes.
But you're saying, and even now in 2024, the tax on the amount is double effectively as well as what it was in 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like, you even go back to when we first started looking to buy a house in the late 80s, you know, we paid, what do you call it, interest of 18.5% on our first house.
Yeah.
And even after 7 years, we just had paid the interest and no capital.
You know, but address the argument, which is the Green Party and the Labour Party, and the Green Party are part of government, by the way, as you know. They're saying this is passing on unearned privilege. The ICTU line was, these are inheritance brats. They are getting money they did not earn.
Yeah. No, their parents earned it, and I think they deserve to earn, to have it when we are gone. And hopefully, you know, they'll be there to look after you as well in our old age, you know, and that's part of it as well, you know. But we've worked hard enough that I don't think the government should start taking double tax off, you know, people who have worked all their lives, paid mortgages, paid interest. Now we're paying property tax, you know.
Well, if they brought it back to the 2009 rates,
It would be a big help
because if you follow the CSO figures, 550 in 2009 would be worth nearly 700,000 now.
Yeah, I would agree with that, but I still, that other lady was saying the family home should always be the family home, and there should be no tax
regardless of who you give it to.
Yeah. Yes,
Regardless of who you give it to.
Yes.
Because your argument is we pay tax.
Yeah,
we paid stamp duty.
Yes.
We paid property tax.
Yeah. Like, we initially bought a home, we had to borrow the money to pay the stamp duty.
Okay. Helen Rice, stay with us. 51551 joe@rte.ie. Helen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
What is your position on this inheritance tax? Should it be, as Deirdre and Helena and other callers have pointed out, that the home that you live in is a home that you already paid, bought after paying income tax? You've already paid stamp duty. As we know, in 2009, it went up to just under 10% that the state took directly from, apart from local authority, if it was a new house and development fees and all that carry on. Do you believe that the value of the house in total should pass to whoever the owners of the house wish to give it to, without interference from the state?
Yes, I agree with that, Joe, because all of them taxes have already been paid. Okay. In my situation, my partner died last year.
Okay.
We were together 45 years.
Wow. Okay.
We'd 4 children. We've 13 grandchildren.
Right.
And we had a joint tenancy agreement.
Okay.
And on his half of the house, of the property, reverts to me when he died.
Okay.
And I'm expected to pay 33% on that.
Why?
I'm classed as a stranger.
Why?
That's the law.
Because you didn't actually get married.
We weren't married.
Yeah. Hardly unusual in this day and age, Alan.
Well, that's it, Joe, yeah. And what is, say, all
so
you have been paid.
Despite living together, you and your partner, for 45 mm-hmm. years,
yes.
and having 4
yes.
children, and hopefully
yes.
grandchildren of
13, yeah.
13 grandchildren, when your partner mm-hmm. died, on the value yeah. of the house, his yeah. half of the house, you were a complete stranger when he left it to you.
Yes, I'm expected to pay 33% on his half. So I'm allowed 16,000 tax-free.
Wow.
Yeah.
And can you contest it in any way? Surely if, not that you'd need to, but surely you've proof that you had this joint...
No, that's law. You know what I mean? That's the law. That's what my solicitor has told me. That's the law of the tax
yeah.
that you pay. Now, maybe you can appeal that, you know, but why should it be even there? You know,
yeah, because
it's not very...
Remember when the USC was brought in 2008, 2009, we were told it was an emergency tax because of the collapse of the economy and everything that entailed, and taxes, and we were told it was an emergency short-term tax. It's still there, and they've made it clear at this stage they're collecting so much money on the USC, there is no way, they mentioned
yeah.
that they're going to abandon it. They will tweak it. Okay, stay with us, Helen. Joe at rt.ie,
okay.
51551. The question is very straightforward. Should the family home, when you pass on and leave a will, or indeed want to give the family home to somebody, should, when you decide, you being the owner and your partner, or just a lone person or whatever, single person, if you decide to give the house to whoever, should you, which is not the situation at the minute, in fact it's the total opposite, should you be allowed give that family home to whoever you want without the state grabbing more, or grabbing is the wrong word, Joe, taking more tax. Joe at rt.ie, 51551, text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
A lot of people, thankfully, don't want to remember, but they've no choice because it hits them in their pay packet and whatever taxes they pay. In 2008, there was an emergency budget. There was another emergency budget shortly thereafter, and it introduced new taxes. And one of the new taxes. The rates of the income levy doubled to 2, 4 and 6%. Excise duty as per used cigarettes, litre diesel, petrol went up, and the USC came in. Now, one of the big changes then was the changes to inheritance tax, as it was called and still is called. And up to, believe it or not, up to April, between January 2009, this is almost helps you pinpoint the collapse. Between January 2009 and April 2009, we were on the up, okay? In other words, the allowance that children could, the value that children could inherit each child if there was more than one, from the value of the house was 550,000 before they'd have to pay tax. Okay, that was for 3 months. The previous year, they've been going up every year to take into account the inflation in the house prices. It went from 202, it went from 402. 2000, 24 years ago, it was 380. It's now down below that again. And went to the height of it was 520 in 208, and then 540, 542 up to April for 3 months, up to April 209. And then everything collapsed. And now it went down dramatically. As of today, it's 330, which in real terms is less than half what it was. The allowance less than half what it was in 209. Sarah Harris. Sarah, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. Go ahead. You say you want to find out the situation for single people, as you say.
Well, no. What I really wanted to make the point is that I think it's a total discriminatory tax.
Yeah.
And the reason is because everybody should be able to leave their private home to whoever they so want to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because why should somebody not be a, why should, I don't have children, and if I would like to mm-hmm. leave a home to somebody, why should I not be able to do that or do it and somebody gets totally taxed?
Because as a Green Party and the Labour Party are fighting against this at the minute, and they're saying this is unearned privilege.
But the privilege of having a home to begin with has been totally mm-hmm. earned by the person who has bought it, paid for it, paid taxes on it, and now they're dying and they want to ensure that somebody within their family or yeah. their friend spectrum is going to inherit what they have worked for. And it discriminates against me that I can't do that to somebody when somebody else can just okay. because they have had a child. And I just want to say this because mm-hmm. if I wanted to leave to a godson or a nephew,
yeah. okay.
and at the moment particularly help people or niece or whatever it is,
yeah.
or a friend, help people be in a home and be on the ladder, why should, or even at the later in their lives, why should, with the housing crisis that we have, why should I not be able to do that? And why should people then be left something if they were, okay, and then have to pay a huge tax on it? And I just would like to go one step further.
Yes.
I also think that there should be a cash amount or an amount that people can leave to whomever they want. This issue of it again being being a niece or a nephew or a child or a sibling is moot. It should all be a level playing field. If you can leave a home to somebody and savings to somebody or cash to somebody, it should be an even playing ground of the amount.
Okay. And if you were, Sarah, I presume you've looked at this, but it's very straightforward. If the value of your home was, say, 500,000, I have no idea. Let's say 500,000. If you decided to leave your home to your godchild, okay, adult godchild or whatever, that godchild would have to pay €170,000 in tax. So that would
Which
now the argument would be, one of the arguments about this, as they were labelled by ICTU inheritance brats. One of the arguments is,
I think anybody saying inheritance brats, it's a appalling term, and it's totally disrespectful.
That was the term used at the time. I remember we had a debate about it here on Liveline. But the I'm quoting from The Economist and ICTU, saying these inheritance brats, they could sell the house, and that would then they could pay the 170,000 tax, and they'd have 230 left for themselves.
Yeah, but I think if you go back to your first caller, let's be clear, let's take the term the house or a home.
Mm.
I'm leaving my home to somebody that may provide them with a home.
Okay.
You know, it's not, I could sell the home and I could go and divide that up and sell it if I thought I was, you know, on the way out or something. What I'm saying is, that's all irrelevant, Joe. It's totally about, are we all in the same playing field because you mm-hmm. have children or I have children? And I find as a single person, you know, or as a person without children, it has always been, and for years I have felt, it is a total discriminatory tax, and it's discriminatory in everything. And why should a friend not be able to receive as much as a child? Why should children be able to get the same amount? And by the way, if you did leave your home or your house to somebody else, even if you have children, well, let them fight it out if it's a good reason and you don't include them in your will. Normally, if children aren't included in wills, there's a pretty good reason. And, you know, so I'm sure they're all the safeguards are there. But if you and I come up in the same way in life, go to school, work, buy a house, you have children, I don't, why should my whoever I want to leave my home be that I can't do it in the same way? And I think it's pretty straightforward. And I think it's a terrible discriminatory tax.
Okay, stay with us, Sarah. Rory called us in Galway. He's an accountant. Rory, can you offer Sarah any respite on the, has she any way of getting an exemption on this penal tax if she leaves, if she left a house to somebody she's no direct, if she left her house to a godchild who's, is there any exemptions?
Yeah, well, there are exemptions there, Joe. And so Rory Collins, my name. We run a tax specialist practice, and we deal a lot with inheritance and tax planning. I think it's a broader, it's a much broader issue in relation to the limits as opposed to, you know, just focusing on the dwelling house, because, you know, a renter, a person renting all their lives will be disadvantaged. An elderly couple downsizing, I could save money, 500,000, and pay 52% tax, and you could have
Okay, Rory, what is exempt? To take Sarah's position.
Okay, so take real life people.
Sarah,
okay, I'll give you the real life people.
So, yeah, has she? No matter who, in her own compass mentis way, no matter who she wants to give the home she owns paid for after after paying income tax or whatever, and all the different things. But no matter who she gives that home to, because she's no direct relations, and which she argues very strongly is discriminatory against people who don't have children, which is a lot of people in this day and age, a lot of good people. But Sarah says, no matter who I give it to, that person, and the value of my house is 500 grand, that person must pay nearly 160, 170 euro to the taxman. Now, is there any exemptions?
There is exemption.
Is there an exemption for Sarah?
Well, it depends on the beneficiary of who it is.
Okay,
but
tell me.
There is called a dwelling house exemption. So if someone inherits a house, yeah, and it's their only house, and they can't have an interest in any other property, so the intention is not to give them a house tax-free. The intention is that they're living in the house with you, possibly caring for you.
For how long?
At least three years before you inherit the property. And you cannot sell it for 6 years after. That's fully exempt.
Okay, so Sarah, but can you move one of your godchildren in with you now?
No, but Joe, that's still discriminatory, because the person who has the children can walk out, get hit by a bus, die tomorrow, and their house goes to their children. Okay? I'm not, you know, the point is, and I keep coming back, it shouldn't be about the inheritors. It should be about the person who is leaving this, and that it is in the same ball game as them, that I should be able to leave my home to somebody, because when you leave your home, whoever is the beneficiary of that, and the chances are, by the way, sorry, in most cases, most children end up selling the family home within a year often to pay the taxes. So people sell homes. It's about, are you going to benefit from the years of work of somebody that has not got children versus people who do? That's totally discriminatory. So 7 years now, somebody has to be living with me and stay 6 years afterwards. That's terribly discriminatory.
3 years.
Three and six is nine.
Three, seven, and total six, whatever, nine, and nearly a decade just to get the money that I should be able to leave to whoever I want.
And Rory, do you find many people can benefit from this exemption?
Well, yeah, there are a number of people who benefit from the exemption. I mean, there are other planning techniques as well, Joe, that people can work with. A lot of times what elderly parents might do is they would transfer the house early in life. I mean, early, maybe when they're in their just retired, and grant a right of residence to the parents. So you're capping the value at which the house is transferred. There are also life assurance policies that can be taken out to pay the inheritance tax as well. So I'm not saying it's ideal.
Well, hang on. Life insurance policies, especially at a certain age, are very expensive.
It depends. I mean, you're...
Well, hang on. I've yet to, apart from ICI 25 years ago and the insurance corporation, I've yet to come across an insurance company that's gone bankrupt. So they're making profits.
Well, I'll give you a number. So a 63... Now, this is just a number I have from the earlier thing I was looking at. A 63-year-old couple who want to take out life insurance. It's called a Section 72 life insurance policy, but they don't want to bore you with that. But effectively, they could cover $1 million inheritance tax liability for a payment of $25,000 a year. Now, that's a 39-year payback. So you've got to take the view, I suppose, if you live only a year, it's a very good policy. It covers $1 million for a $25,000 payment.
Do I have to do a medical? No. I presume I'd have to do a medical if I was 63.
Well, yeah, you'd have to do medical stuff. I'm not, like, we're not brokers. We're independent tax advisors.
We don't sell any
products. So I'm not trying to sell you something, but I just give you an example. Where that works very well, Joe, is if you have a large property that you don't want to have to sell to pay the, to pay the inheritance tax. The policy is actually a good thing. It's a good thing for a business as well, you know, where it's what we call illiquid assets. So there are ways of you know, some people will transfer the houses as well out with a right of residence to avoid the Fair Deal loan scheme as well. So there are planning ways around it. But the dwelling house relief is...
And does the right of residence apply to one person, or does it have to apply to all the... No, I mean, the right... If you're granting the right of residence to avoid inheritance tax, does that have to be to your children? Or to strangers?
No, it's just... So what you're doing is you're transferring the property today. So let's say you have a property today that's worth 300,000 and there's to your child, let's pick an example, 335,000 tax-free amount. But you think by the time you die in 20 years, it might be worth 700,000. Well, then you transfer to them today and you give a right of residence to the parents to stay there. It's not the children have the right of residence, but there's no requirement to live in the house with you. You know, they own the property, but you can still, you occupy it, you can do what you want with it, but you have a right of residence. Now, there are some, you know, there's a bit of tax planning stuff around it, but
there's a lot of complications as well. We don't know where any of us are going to be in that period. We don't know what our relationship is going to be with our children or our children's spouses or our children's partners or whatever. It's a bit of a gamble.
Well, you have a right of residence there. Like, I could have a right of residence in your property. I'm not a lawyer in relation to it, but I mean, I'm saying you still have. I'm just giving examples of what some people do. Mm. They say, listen, Johnny, your right of residence could actually say you're not even allowed to visit the property, you know, on it.
Yeah,
but it is a way of capping the value.
Rory, say what does Rory call? But Sarah, what do you think of Rory saying there are various mechanisms?
Yes, but Joe, first of all, okay, that's slightly discriminatory because having a good tax planner and all these different things, that takes a certain amount of money. Mm-hmm. And so it just is not fair. The only fair way to look at this, that people don't have to go and try and get tax advice and do whatever and, you know, run around bushes trying to figure out what they're doing and then maybe to fall out and all those things. I've got so many things that could go wrong with them. The only thing that is fair is that everybody is equal in the way that they can leave and disperse what they have bought, paid for, worked hard for in their life, and that applies to their private home and to lump sums to people. And if I want to leave a lump sum to somebody, for whether or not they're my friend or my godson or my anything, that should be the same amount that you can leave. Because if you happen to have children, that should not give you a greater privilege over me. Or if you have family members that maybe people don't have nieces or nephews, maybe they've only got friends. You know, it's the only way it is ever going to be fair is that it starts with what you can leave as a person that is not discriminated against. That's all.
And
I think it's pretty straightforward.
And the clarity is, and it began with Deirdre as well, and the various nuances have been explored by people, including yourself, Sarah, that the clarity is from the argument of people saying that the home that I own, that one owns, in alliance either by oneself or other partners or whatever, the home that one owns, because of the way it was obviously attained, paid for, tax, stamp duty, income tax, after income tax, mortgage repayments, etc., etc. Now, I know there is mortgage interest relief, but it's minimum at the minute. But the home that one owns, one should be allowed give that to whomsoever you like, and that person should not be penalised. by the state.
Categorically, absolutely. And that is the only fair way to do it. And I mean, I just said, in the world that we are now living in, where there are far less people getting married, maybe having children and all the rest, yeah, well, it's the only fair way forward.
Well, look at that awful position that, was it Helen earlier on, was left in, partner, 45 years, four children. Unfortunately, he passed away, and obviously the value of the house passes to her, and then she discovered she had to pay a significant amount of tax on her own house,
yes,
so
Joe,
to speak.
May I ask that I was? May I just add that many years ago I was in a very similar situation, over 20 years ago. Now that was changed when that all came into the co-living and the, you know, that was all changed. But up to 20 years ago, and I'm sure there are many people that are possibly listening to your program today that actually had to pay tax on when their partner died, and they would have had to have paid the 49% tax on that. And even worse still, had there been other children, it would have come into the remit of, so just say somebody had been living with somebody and there was a previous wife and children, that would have come into the remit of the previous partner to be, would have, you know, in looking after for the children. Anyway, thankfully that's all changed.
Okay.
But look, thank you very much for hearing that.
Thanks for your clarity, Sarah Harris and Rory Call. Loads of people to talk to. Joe at rt.ie, 51551 after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie talking about inheritance tax. The bulk of the callers so far to the programme are saying the home is the home. The home is the family home, bought, paid for, earned, money earned, tax paid. And it should be, I don't know, what is that noise in my ear? It's a continuing noise. Okay, let it go. Joan Birch. Joan, good afternoon.
Joan. How are you, Joe?
Okay, you're listening to the argument. The argument is basically between two counterpoints. One saying, this is unearned privilege. Why should somebody who gets a gift, inherits a house that they haven't paid anything on, why should they be allowed to get that money without paying tax to the state? The phrase used, was used in 2009, when by the way, the inheritance tax was much more generous. Children got much, much more from the family home than they do now. They were called inheritance brats. It's now called by the Labour Party and the Greens unearned privilege. What do you think should happen?
Well, I really agree with your last speaker. She spoke very well about the tax at the moment is discriminatory. But I don't think on a family home that anyone should pay any tax, because they have been contributors. Like, my mum was widowed when she was very young. She was only 37, with eight of us. So I'm one of the brats that inherited my mum's home.
Okay. And and the reason you were called a brat by you to an inheritance brat was they said you didn't earn any of that income. You didn't earn any. Anyone else who goes out to work and earns money has to pay now up to 52% tax. Then it was 40%. So you didn't earn that income. Why should you get it tax-free?
I just think they're so out of touch, people, to say something like this, because, you know, as a family, you know, there was eight of us, and like everyone that's in the house contributes towards a house.
Okay.
And even like when my mom got older and she got sick and she ended up in a nursing home, there was huge fees to pay to a nursing home. That came out of our savings. So there's huge, I mean, there's money to be made everywhere. So why, like, I mean, the first speaker talked about the tax that people get from gambling, the taxes that can be accumulated by the government. There's huge money there. I don't see why they should go after family homes. I mean, if people have extra businesses, a family home is, like, it's sacred just to the family, and not just to the family, to the person who decides who they want to leave it to, like your last speaker said, whether it's
now
their niece, their nephews.
The budget that changed everything for everybody was April 2009. Well, there was a budget in 2008 as well in the mayor, but the April 2009, it was called the bust budget because the country was bust. and it was compared to the budgets of the 1920s. Ernest Blythe.
So are they going to restore that and put it back? You know, when you take something out of the rainy day fund?
Pascal Donoghue boasts about that every public servant has been restored to all the cuts that they had to endure. They have been restored. So you're saying, why shouldn't it change? Why shouldn't it apply to other areas? And the reason why it doesn't apply to other areas is that it's tax for the state. It's tax for services. It's tax for hospitals, education.
For what services? Look, we're paying for our own bins now. We're paying for everything. You go to the hospital, it's 100 euro if you come in off the street and you're not referred to by a doctor if you have a little emergency or anything. Everything is, there's all this extra fees and money is coming into the government now. And there's the government, our government is very well off. I don't think they should... Look, if they're going to take it back out of this, if they're going to take it back out of the people's pockets by saying that they need to build up the emergency fund, which they said that in the first place, well, then they should restore it again. Because look, I mean, my first house we paid 23,000 for it. The last house we sold was 450. Mm-hmm. Right, but I've downsized now, but still. Okay. My kids have gone abroad, well, two of them, three of them at one stage. And, you know, you'd like to say at the end of your life that you'd be able to hand them, say, 50 or 60,000 each. That's all I'd be able to hand them if my house was sold today, you know?
Yeah, but our national debt in Ireland still is 233 billion. Dollars, it's calculated in the US. That's our national debt. We owe that. We owe it.
That's crazy.
Well,
yeah.
It's true. We're like, it's a hangover as well from the crash. But anyway,
yeah,
so the government say we need the tax. Okay, we're getting a lot more in than we did compared to this time. You know, the figures are coming this time last year, the previous year, or whatever. And then everyone trundles out and they say, oh, you can't bank on that.
Look, but what are they doing with the money?
Well, can you not... Like, how much do you think it costs to send 200 Gardaí out to Coolock? For, you know what I mean? Anyway, but I take your point. Yeah. I take your point that you say when you go to hospital, the cost, you have to pay. A lot of people have to take out VHI, you have to pay. A lot of people pay tax on everything you buy, drink, clothes, food or whatever. Clothes are exempt. A lot of food is exempt. But still, on other things, there's VAT on every service and every restaurant and every garage, excise duty on petrol, highest in Europe.
We have a very good
excise duty on alcohol, the highest in Europe. Patrick, you're in favour of this tax. Why?
Yes, Joe. My dad died in 1971. He was a big farmer. Mm. And not alone having the trauma of his death, sudden death, but revenue came down to the house, I think within, it's hard to remember, about 14 days, and valued everything in the house down to the kitchen sink, I believe.
Valued the land. Did they value the land?
Oh, of course, yes. Livestock, the whole lot. So I think at the time, I'm 72 now, but the tax at the time was between 50 and 55% mm-hmm. of debt duty. So with that, there was no way of saving the house or the farm, and everything was sold. And
but there is relief on agricultural land.
No, don't think back at that time, Joe.
Okay, the current relief, the taxable value of a property for farmers, and then you have the whole argument, which again, to go back in the PAYE arguments, I remember them making the argument that something like 97% of income tax in Ireland is paid by PAYE workers and farmers paid very little. But the relief now for the farmers who pass on the farm, the relief reduces the taxable value of the property, including land, by 90%. If you received a gift...
Back in the day, Joe, it was totally, totally different. But anyway... we lost the house, lost everything, and as I've grown older, I looked into the history of it. death duty or inheritance tax was something brought in by the British government at the end of the 19th century. It was an effort to break up the big estates and make it more equitable.
To redistribute income.
To allow for social mobility. So looking at that, I think it's correct and right. But like, I do not think that anyone should get a huge gift of unearned income. Now, I think the people who won the lotto, the big one, they divide that all up among many members of the family so that you can give a certain amount.
Well, they've no obligation. The lotto, lotto winnings are a tax exempt.
Yeah, but you cannot gift, if you want it as one person, you cannot
there's
gift
tax.
Gift tax. So, anyway, as years went by, I thought it's not as bad. I really feel sorry for that lady who her partner died and she's now been hit with all this tax. But there is another side to it. It's for the equitable distribution of wealth.
That the state takes the money, takes the tax on the value of the family home, and Maria redistributes it.
Yeah, but it's to stop the concentration of wealth in one family for centuries. Yeah, that's my point.
And people will note in the recent British general election, inheritance tax was an issue there as well. The Labour Party had a different position on inheritance tax to the Tories. The Tories wanted to reduce. Labour wanted to hold. Stay there, Pat, because of that social distribution argument. Gay White. Gay, what do you think of what Patrick is saying? This is a way of spreading the wealth around through the government, obviously, around other people. Gay.
So thank you for bringing this issue up, because it's something that's been a pet hate of mine for years.
Okay.
My husband and I have, as they say, weren't blessed with children.
Yeah.
So we worked hard all our lives. We were in the workplace for 50 years, paid our taxes at times when they were very, very high, way back in the 70s and 80s. And now we're faced with a situation where we want to leave our inheritance to our nieces and nephews. And we find that they can... My nieces and nephews can get 33,000 of an exemption. And if I die first and my husband is leaving it to my nieces and nephews, they're classed as strangers to him.
Already? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So they would only get 16,000 or whatever, tax-free. And I feel there's so many anomalies in there that the injustice of having worked all my life, done everything we were supposed to do, provided a little bit. Now, very modest pensions, but provided a little bit for our dotage, and so that we won't be relying on the state for help. The other thing is that during the years that we paid those taxes, we weren't actually benefiting from social welfare in terms of children's allowance or school or anything like that. Now, I've no problem with parents. I absolutely fully would put a smile on my face paying taxes towards that. But I just think it's a double penalty. It's
If it's, and you're a long way off your dotage, Gay. if it's been an issue that you have, you said it to the politicians on the doorsteps, as they say.
I have written and got no response.
None
whatsoever.
Wow.
So, which is interesting. I got one to say it has been passed on.
And what do you say in your letter?
Exactly what I've said, only probably a longer version of it. You know, I just think the injustice of how Sarah made the point very, very well, that it's because, like, I will be dividing things equally between my nieces and nephews, which will probably come as a surprise to them now listening to me on the phone.
Okay.
But that's an equal distribution of wealth as well, you know. But the problem is that if my husband dies first, all my nieces and nephews if my husband dies first, his nieces and nephews will pay inheritance tax as strangers to
They become strange because they're not blood relatives
Okay, so
Patrick, just on Gay's point, that she is distributing her wealth to her nieces and nephews, and she's leaving the state out of it.
Yeah, but as you said, who pays for these Gardaí up in Coolock at the moment?
Well, people pay it through their income tax, very heavy income tax, a lot of people, USC, VAT, excise duty, the list goes on and on and on. You can't spend a penny in Ireland without it being taxed, with a few exceptions. It's not correct.
Yeah, it is correct, but I still think that... if you give a huge inheritance tax-free, like to a person who's not earned it, and then wealth then stays within the same families, and the state has to forgo.
I understand it, but Patrick, when is the last time you ever heard of a person from Dublin buying a farm or inheriting a farm? Doesn't the farm stay within the family, don't they?
Yes. But it's one hell of a leg up to the person coming along.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people are denied that.
That's life, isn't it? I totally take your point. I think the argument about this redistribution. But Gay says, I am redistributing my... This is her retort. I am redistributing the value of my house to my nieces and nephews and whoever else I decide.
I know. It's just my personal opinion.
Stay there with us. That's why, because you're one of the few people making it, and that's why I want to hear your voice. Where's Maureen Madigan? Maureen.
Thank you, Joe.
Sorry for holding you so long. Go ahead, Maureen.
Well, I spoke to the politicians in 2016. I spoke to Pascal and Minister Noonan.
Okay.
And I said I wanted the thresholds increased, and I wanted the taxation the thresholds increased,
okay,
and brought the tax brought down.
Okay.
Anyway, nothing happened. But I would like to refer your listeners to the article by Alan Shatter.
Mm-hmm.
He says inheritance tax is just grave robbery allowed by the state, and I thoroughly agree with him. I mean, people have worked hard, paid 68% tax, and they die.
Mm-hmm.
And then here they're taxed again. Even Joe, if they went back to what it was back in 2009, like, even if they brought it back there for a start, wouldn't that be something?
Well, that's what you're arguing, yeah.
To bring it back to
2009 would actually double the exemption. Effectively.
But wouldn't that be a start? Okay, they can't do everything together. But like, and it's very unfair on single people. I'm in the process now. I've just lost my last sister 2 months ago.
Okay.
And I don't have a family, and I'm in the process of writing my will. Now, I leave it to my, whatever I have will go to my niece and my nephews,
okay,
and my grandnieces and grandnephews. But it breaks my heart to see that the threshold will be 16,000 and they're going to be slaughtered with 33% tax, you know, on the rest of it. Anyway, I think it's just so unfair, and okay, it's a bugbear of mine.
Okay, stay there, Maureen. Kevin, put the other side of the argument, please. Kevin.
Yes, well, the first thing I'd like to say before I get into the argument is that I've noticed in a long life that the rich and privileged people always claim they're being discriminated against.
Okay.
Every argument, they say it's discrimination against us. We worked hard all our lives. Well, we all worked hard all our lives, or most people did. Mm. And not all that many people have that much money to leave that they'd be paying tax on it. The second point to make is that the person who makes the will and dies is not being taxed. It's the people who get the inheritance that are being taxed. I mean, that's just a straight up and down logical mistake to say that the dead are being taxed. And Alan Shatter, well, I mean, you know about him. We'll leave him out of it, I think. I read that article and I found it fairly disgusting. Now, the next point is that the whole capitalist system depends on the circulation of money. And the people at the top of the pile don't want the money circulated. They want to keep it themselves, quite understandably. If the money doesn't circulate, then the poor gradually become poorer and the money floats up to the top and stays there. It's been called asset stripping of the middle class and working class. I think that's a fair description of it. And obviously, a death duty tax is one way, and only one of the ways, of redistributing money so that everyone gets an equal crack.
Okay, where's Maureen gone? Is Maureen there? Where's Maureen? Okay, I was going to put it to Maureen. That, what did you call her? Rich and privileged? Richard, I've no one to put
well,
it to
the,
now.
The anyway. Wealthy and privileged, rich and privileged. I mean, they have money, they buy houses, they have send their children to decent schools.
Well, what's wrong with
someone
that? What's wrong with, what's wrong
someone
with
lives
that?
In,
they're not
well,
put, hang on, they're not, hang on, they're not putting it up their nose.
No,
you know,
just,
you know, they're not drinking
can I
finish
it. Finish my sentence,
yeah.
Please, Joseph. Okay, people who live in, you know, a nice suburb and they have a house and they send their kids to good schools, and there's people who live in Pierce House or somewhere like that.
Great people,
and,
yeah.
And they have to send, well, they send their children to deaf schools, which are actually quite good schools.
Brilliant schools,
so,
yeah.
We've heard a lot of moralistic talk about a level playing field. Well, where is the level playing field?
Well, the name, according to the OECD, we've the most progressive in terms of redistribution. We've the most progressive income tax system in all of Europe.
Well,
we have
a
very progressive. A lot better than the UK in terms of people who earn the most by far pay the most, which is the way it should be.
Yeah.
So we have a progressive tax system. Everyone accepts that.
Yeah, but the people who buy houses obviously have paid income tax. So the richer they are, probably the less income tax they pay. That's the way it's run. And
you see that's...
leaving that aside... The playing field is not level because there are people who work very hard who live in poor quality housing and don't have the money to send their kids to nice schools.
Well, I tell you, poor quality housing. If you look at it, and I know they haven't built enough, and that's been a great tragedy in the last 15 years in this country, that the local council seem to be more interested in building award-winning headquarters than they were in the building houses. But the houses that Dublin City Council are building now are fantastic.
Yeah, now,
great.
But,
yeah, now, well, now we are where we are. Okay, Maureen, stay there, Kevin. Maureen, you're rich and privileged and you're...
I wish I was, Joe. I grew up in Drimna and my mum and dad, my dad worked hard. My brother Seamus went off to Canada, paid his own university fees by working in pea factories in England.
Right.
Went off, lived his life in Canada, had a great life in Canada. He did well for himself. Sadly, he died without a will and divorced 2 months before he died.
Okay.
His estate was left to my two sisters and myself. My sister in England didn't have to pay anything.
Right.
My sister and myself here had to pay a whopper of a tax bill.
Okay.
And...
Well, what do you think of Kevin's point? This is simply a way, this is simply a mechanism that the state has invented to redistribute income across a broader section of people who are...
No, Joe, it was a money grab by the government. They didn't know what to do. They needed the money. They got the money. And it is true. It's stealing from the grave.
Oh, Kevin, what do you think?
Well,
Kevin, what do you take that line there, Kevin, if you would, please. Stealing from the grave.
Well, stealing from the grave is not the case because it's the people who are alive who pay the tax on the inheritance tax, not the dead person. Dead person
dies
with their estate.
Those people have paid tax all their lives.
But we've all paid tax all our lives. Now I'm fortunate. I've got a nice house and etc. But we all pay tax all our lives. There's plenty of people now in their 30s who are paying tax and can't get a mortgage. It's almost impossible.
No, but a lot of those people won't even be able to buy a house. It's impossible for them now. So that's why I would like to be able to help my grandnephew and my niece and my nephews.
And why should they have to pay all this tax, you know? Can they do with the money to buy them a little house?
That's very laudable. That's very laudable. But how about the rest of society? Don't they get a bite of the cherry? You know, like nurses and work very hard and guards work very hard.
Well, that's,
them need
yeah,
much
but...
money. And teachers work very hard, having been
well,
one
all
my life,
and
they don't have any
we
money
all work,
to leave.
I worked for nearly 50 years. From the time I was 14, worked in a jam factory.
Kevin, I think one of the arguments is that the state takes from people who earn on the basis of the amount they earn. Okay? The more you earn, the more you pay. It's quite, and I know you're saying the rich, the very, I don't know who you're talking about, the billionaires or whatever who can jet around the world avoiding tax. But the vast majority of people pay their fair share of income tax. But Maureen's point is saying this is not money. This is not tax based on the amount that you've earned. This is tax based on the value of your house and your wish to give it to your children.
Well, you know, everything's taxed. The food you buy, the car you buy, is all taxed.
Okay.
And I don't see, you know, I hope that my kids will get something from the house I own, but I don't see why they should get these huge amounts of wedge from their parents or their aunties and uncles who've died. And we're still left with homeless problems, people who live in flats that were built 50, 60 years ago and are not great places to live. And I know these flats through relations. I know these. And they get nothing out of society, whereas the money continues to percolate upwards and never trickles down.
And the social welfare system and the education system and the hospital system and the rental, the HAP payments or whatever, the help with council housing, that's redistribution, isn't it?
It is redistribution, yeah. But it's not enough.
I'm not being rude, but I'm way over in outbreaks. Joe at RTE.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Bead Slater, your point, please, Breed.
Okay, my point is that I paid off a mortgage at 11% on this house for the entire thing. It's only a 3-bedroom house.
Okay.
It's modest house. To call me privileged is just ridiculous. I worked from the time I was 17 until I was 66. I have two children. Now, to say the house, I bought the house for 25,000.
Okay.
It's now worth 600 and something thousand. Mm. My daughter is living with me at the moment because she cannot afford a mortgage. And she can't get a mortgage. She can afford a mortgage. I mean, she could pay 2,000 in rent, but the banks don't think she can pay a mortgage, which, again, is just another
bugbear. Well, could the state not argue that, and the state is us, basically, but could the state not argue that the exponential increase in the value of your house was generated by the general improvement in the economy and the world we live in, and the state should get some part of that extra value through inheritance tax? I know they get it now through property tax, but...
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They're getting it through property tax. And also, I actually got my mortgage through the state. So, I mean, I got a corporation loan and locked in at 11% for 25 years. That was a lot of money paid back on what I originally borrowed. But my argument is that if people work all their lives... I mean, my kids went to state schools. They weren't privileged. They didn't go to private schools. I think that the least we should be allowed to do is to leave our property to our children.
Thanks, Breed. Good morning. Dermot Ryan finally conceded. Apologies to the other callers. Dermot, your quick point, please.
Well, I don't want to be repeating all the points made earlier on, but obviously I agree with those who object to it. It's just to give an example, like in where I live, when the old tax rate was there, a house in Cork was 161,000.
Okay,
it's now 335.
Okay, so are you saying go back to 209?
Well, I think, and what I would say is that people like myself who paid our tax and our VAT and everything else, the people who actually bought their house the hard way, they should either be exempt from debt duties or given a special rate.
Okay, but the overwhelming feeling is go back at least to 209. Last break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
James Feeney, research, Jim O'Donoghue, Martin, producer Richard Stern, Ray Darcy's next. Remember, Joe at rte.ie.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Summer's here. Spruce up your bedroom for less with our sizzling summer sale offers at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.